This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, welcome back. I'm going to talk some birds, and who better to talk this with than a co-host today? Steve Molesky's joining us. Steve, tell everybody where they can find you now. I know you're doing some writing and different things, and you'll be popping on here on occasion.
I am now on Substack, which I think not a lot of people know about, although within their app, they have 20 million people who read that. So a lot of big-name national people are there, and I'm there with my own little corner of the world writing about the Orioles and the Oriole minor leagues and trying to do good stories. And I've actually only been on there about 10 days, but it's going well. Knock on everything in the room here as I say that.
You just got to keep building and letting people know
you
it's
have
there.
You build slowly because there is a paid element to this, and some people are honoring me by paying for my work, which I really, truly appreciate. After, you know, you guys know I was not, my contract was not renewed by the Orioles in Mass. And so steveonbaseball.substack.com, if they just go to the Substack website or my social media, Twitter or something X, they'll find how to get there. And a lot of people have been really great to follow me. And I, when this happened to me, Jeremy, I said, well, I'm not ready to walk away yet. I know that's closer to the finish line than it ever has been in my career, but I'm not ready to cross the line yet.
Yeah, well,
I feel like I got too much energy, too much passion, too much knowledge. I love covering baseball. I love what I do. I feel like I do it as well now as I did when I was in my 30s and 40s. So I'm keeping going. And the fans, how they've reached out to me so much since this happened, They carry me. You know, they really have carried me here.
Yeah, I think that's something, too. Like, we just had some cuts here at the radio station last week, and you look at some of the things going on, it's a difficult thing, because I'm sitting here looking at you going, man, you did this for all the damn lean years. I know there were a couple good ones in there, but now the team's finally good and has some staying power, I believe. And now it's like, well, hell, I want to keep covering this team. This should be the fun part of it, looking for postseason, looking forward to postseason and all that. But well, let's start it off. We were talking about Grayson. You think it's good news, bad news, still up in the air? They talked about 7 to 10 days for elbow inflammation. Anytime I hear elbow, it always makes me nervous.
It makes you nervous. So he got a cortisone injection on Sunday. He will not do anything for 7 to 10 days. They hope at that point he can begin a throwing progression, which essentially he'll be starting over. The guy's only thrown a couple spring innings, so he's not very built up when this happened. So he's going to have to start from scratch. That means no chance for opening day. How much longer after that he's going to miss, that's what we're waiting to find out. If it's on the small side, the Orioles can weather that. If it's more significant, he just lost Kittredge for 2 months. Gunner hasn't played since February 27th. Other nicks and bruises are coming up.
Yeah, Tyler O'Neill, and we had the Westberg back injury, which he's fine.
Just a couple days ago, we were all flying high because the Mountain was back on the mound throwing 97, and then an avalanche of issues since. So it's been a tough week in Birdland. But I'll say this to Oriole fans, and you don't want to run a revel in anybody else's misfortune, But the Orioles have one key starter down right now. The Yankees have two. Gerrit Cole could be headed for Tommy John surgery. They're trying to sort through that right now. But it
sounds like it's inevitable, but
it looks significant.
Yeah.
It looks significant. And they already have Luis Gil out until at least June. So there's two key starters for the New York Yankees who will probably miss opening day and both maybe significant time. So, again, I don't say that as good news for Oriole fans, although let's face it, that's a main competitor who's having more problems than you are currently.
Yeah, well, thank God they were able to re-sign Juan Soto. Yankee fans. And I've seen, look, this is the issue I have is when you look at the Yankees, by the way, Stanton, both of his elbows are, you know, banged up and who knows what's going to happen with him. They went and threw all that money at Max Fried, Marcus Stroman's. I'm a starting pitcher. I'm not, he may get his wish because they're running out of starting pitching. But the one thing I believe, and I've heard people write, I can't believe the Orioles weren't ready for this. You mean they didn't have a shortstop waiting in the wings for Gunnar Henderson if he got hurt? Or I think most people are more upset they didn't sign Burns and all the things that went on. But again, I go back to this, like, and you can't just sit here and say Bradish is going to come back and look like himself midway through the year. We don't know. But, you know, you fully expect him to be back at some point this year. And I do think of all the teams, they have depth at starting pitching. It may not be the depth you want, but if you had to go with Cade Povich for a month and a half, 2 months, I'm not as concerned about that. But again, I understand why fans are upset and saying, oh, we need to do this and they need to make a move. They have to make a move. I don't know that that's a necessity.
You don't have a second string of all-stars that when someone goes down, you go, oh, well, he's played in three all-star games. Put him in the lineup. Usually your second string is not all-stars, right? That's why they're second string. So the Corbin Burns thing was much debated by Oriole fans. And now we know he's talked to a reporter or two and said the Orioles came hard after him. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. Did they? In the end, Jeremy, they couldn't get Corbin Burns because they're in Baltimore and not Arizona. He wanted to play at home. Geography got him, like it did every other team pursuing Corbin Burns, including Toronto and some others.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
And so they got to get on life without him. But I'll say this real quickly. The last two times they won the AL East, 2014, 2023, they did not have a Corbin Burns fronting their rotation.
Yeah.
They had Chris Tillman. Kyle Bradish had a big year a couple of years ago. So you can still do it. It just gets tougher.
Yeah, and then you're looking at – so, by the way, the teams that were ranked 1 and 2 in the American League, not just in the AL East, were the Yankees and Orioles. When you look at win totals and what their expectations were – and both of them are just getting beat up right now with injuries. And I think the Orioles are able, with their farm system and everything else, to kind of make up for some of the issues that they need to. Maybe they end up having to bite the bullet and trading somebody they didn't want. But how many teams can look at their farm system and go, well, hell, we could call up Kobe Mayo. We could, you know, they're not going to call up Masayo because he's still got to catch. But, you know, there are guys down there. And the same thing with the bullpen arms. We've been hearing about a lot of guys at AAA that they think could slide in. And we've been saying, like, you still have Suarez in the bullpen, and I think they'd like to keep him there. I think he'll be better there. But if you had to put him back in the rotation, are you upset that that's going on? You know, because you're tweaking a lot of stuff. The Kittredge thing, blowing up in their face with the 2 months at least he's going to be out, but I'm glad it's not the season because I do think he's going to be a great piece. And hear me out on this. I'm not saying it's good that anybody gets hurt, but for a vet coming back later in the year, ramping up at that point in time, I kind of like the idea of getting some of these pieces back. We'll just have to see if the Orioles do go make that proverbial move to try to offset some of these injuries that have happened. But I'm not as concerned about it as most people. I've said this, let the season start and we'll see how things go. But with Grayson's injury, it is something too where we have to start asking ourselves, is this something that's going to happen every year with him? Because changing the motion because of the lat issue and then now this popping up, some people are like, well, did he change too much and that's why he ends up, you know, hurting his elbow? Who knows? This could have been something that was building up for a while and you're just hopeful that he doesn't need Tommy John.
Well, this injury comes at a bad time when he was starting to turn a corner. And I went back, I wrote this winter some articles about Grayson turning into a front of the rotation pitcher, and the stats bear that out. You can go back to mid-season 23 when he came back from the minors. Remember, he had like a 7 ERA. He was a different guy right away. From that point through his last start of last year, 33 starts, 18 wins, low 3 ERA, low whip. That it, go take his numbers, compare him to Cole Reagans, who was fourth for the Cy Young. They're very similar. He was pitching like a top pitcher for the last 33 starts. Now they got to get him on the field, right? Yeah.
I mean, that's what sucks about this, too, because, you know, I made the case with, excuse me, Grayson and some of the other guys you would look at, and I love the comparison with what Cole's done, but Grayson's a guy that I thought he would just get too amped up for starts because I almost feel like you'd know how he was going to do after the first inning. Like, did he give up three runs in the first? Did he settle down? Did he put two guys on? Because there were times he was coming out in the first and he was hitting damn near triple digits and humping it up there. And you're like, oh, he's kind of fired up for this start. And I feel like he's settled down that to a degree. I think a lot of athletes are either going to get butterflies in their stomach, anxiety before the game starts. But as soon as you hear the mitt pop, as soon as you get hit in football or the ball gets tipped in basketball, you start to settle down after that point. But he does have that makeup to be frontline guy. And I've been saying this for years. I think he is Dylan Cease. I think they're the same player, same pitcher, if you will, like the same type of makeup, pitch arsenal. And if you watch Dylan Cease when he first came up with the White Sox, you were like, good God, get rid of this guy. He had a 5-run ERA, and then it clicked. And I think there's some similarities there with what happened with Grayson as well. So hoping this isn't a long-term issue. I really want to see this team at full strength and what they can do because I feel like they built a pretty good roster with depth and the ability to make moves throughout the season or before the trade deadline.
I think they're a hungry team, too. I mean, two straight flameouts in the postseason, 0-5, didn't win a game. I think that's gnawing at them a little bit now, and hopefully they use that in the right way to just be driven the entire season. And then what it's going to come down to, again, what happens in October? Because I think they're going to get there, even if Grayson is out for a significant time, which, again, there's nobody saying that now. And it's not ligament-related, Brandon Hyde has said. That's good news. So everybody's knocking on wood in Birdland for Grayson. But I think it's a playoff team still, 90-plus win team. And then how we feel about the Orioles this time next year is all going to be determined by a couple weeks in October.
You're 100% right. I keep hearing people say, they've lost 10 straight. And it's like, it doesn't matter if they win one, if they still lose the series. I'm not going to hang a banner saying, hey, we won a playoff game, but, you know, they beat us 2 out of 3.